the house of the Lord today.
Yeah, amen. Well, again, we just want to take a moment to welcome any of those that are visiting Family Church for the first time. We're just so honored to have new guests with us. Praise the Lord. We know that God's got a great plan for your life. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And again, we're just so honored that you could be with us here today. The Bible tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, amen. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you hope in a future. Of course, that word prosper is not limited to just the financial realm. God's got a good plan for your life. Amen. Doesn't mean it won't be tried. Doesn't mean it won't be tested. Doesn't mean that there aren't things that we get over. But how many of you know the Bible says over there that in 1 John chapter 5, it says, whosoever declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is an overcomer. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we learn how to overcome with the Word of God. We learn how to follow His plan. Everything's found right here in the Bible. Praise God. This church doesn't make up what the Word says. We don't change the Bible. The Bible changes us. Amen. And so that is our goal here at Family Church, is to always just preach the Word. Sometimes it's fun to hear. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it can be encouraging, teaching, instruction, but also sometimes it can be a loving rebuke, right? Sure. From the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we need to know how to live this life, how God has called us to live it, because His plan is so good, it's worth having every bit of it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to take just a moment before we get into the Word, and on behalf of my wife and I, we just want to thank the church this past Friday night. A family fellowship, they hosted the pastor appreciation dinner, and we just had a wonderful time. We were there for like 4.5 hours until, you know, we just had such a great time. And I just want to say thank you, Joe and Maria Gustafson, who lead our family fellowship. Thank you, guys. Where are they? Where are they? I just saw them. There's Maria. I'm sorry. I knew I was looking right at you. Praise the Lord, and we thank you for so many of you that attended, and were so honorable to us. We just thank you. We had a terrific time. Praise God. Thank you. We were so blessed and humbled. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to call this message, Don't Conform, Transform. Amen. Yeah. Don't conform, transform. And today we're going to talk about renewing your mind. You know what? You can't win in this life until you first and foremost learn to win in your thought life. Listen, we have to understand when you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, your mind was not born again. How many of you know that? Of course, the Bible says that we are a three-part being. All right, over there in 1st Thessalonians 5:23, it tells us that God wants our whole spirit, our soul, and our body to remain blameless under the coming of the Lord. And so it talks about our three-part nature, that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Well, I think the body is probably the easiest to figure out. You know, you looked at your body in the mirror today. You were, you know, hopefully combing your hair and sprucing up, amen, putting on your Sunday best, glory to God. And so that's easy. A lot of times people, though, they get a little confused when it comes to spirit and soul. And sometimes, you know, people think that the spirit and the soul are the same thing. They're not, because the Bible lists them separately. Actually, Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 12, it says this. It says that the Word of God is alive and powerful, piercing even to the division between soul and spirit. Yes. So the Bible says that the Word of God pierces to the division of soul and spirit, giving us the idea that even the Word of God says that the soul and spirit are very closely related, but they're not the same thing, because there's a dividing line between soul and spirit. Your spirit is the real you. Your spirit is the real you. The spirit is what is born again when you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Your spirit is what communicates with God. Your spirit is what talks to you in the form of conscience. Yes. If you've ever wondered why you just didn't feel right in your conscience, or if you just if you just felt like you should or shouldn't do something, just there's an inward knowing or an intuition or your conscience is talking to you about something, that is your spirit. The Bible tells us over there, Proverbs 20 and verse 7, it tells us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. And so the Bible tells us that God communicates to us with our human spirit. Amen. Amen. And that's the part that gets born again. That's the real you on the inside. Amen. And then your soul is something different. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. All right? The soul mainly has to deal with this wonderful organ that we call the brain, or what we also call the mind. All right? And we know that the mind isn't born again when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Of course, you know that if you had stinking thinking before you got saved, you can have stinking thinking after you got saved. All right? Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you always think right. Have you ever known any Christians that don't think right? Or have you been a Christian that doesn't think right at times? Oh, yes, that's all of us. You know, because the mind has to be renewed or renovated, or we must get rid of the old way of thinking and get a new pattern of thinking, which is after the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so we're here today to talk about renewing the mind. And you're going to see this, that in this life, there is a battle, I mean, always between good and evil. And that battle is even personal for everyone's life. I mean, there's always these a different pull to do the wrong thing, or there's a pull to do the right thing. You know, your conscience is trying to get you to do the right thing. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within your spirit is talking to you and reminding you of what the Word of God says. But also your mind gets tempted to make decisions that are ungodly. And your mind gets tempted to worry. And your mind gets tempted with fear. And your mind gets pulled in all these directions. Your emotions get pulled into fear. Your emotions react to circumstances in this life, right? And sometimes those reactions are not godly. Your soul can be moved with temper. Your soul can be moved with anger. Come on. Your soul can be moved with jealousy. Your soul can move in these ways and can interact with our personality and get us to do things that are not the character or the nature of God. Oh, yeah. And so it is that part of our being that we have to renew, because God's will cannot be fulfilled in our life if we think wrong. If we think wrong. And if you've ever needed, believe me, we all do. If you need a change in your life, which I don't care where you are at, I don't care how spiritual you've become in a fast time, we all need change. Oh, yeah. We all need to keep growing. We all need to go higher. We all need to go further. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, this world is constantly trying to bombard us to think the way this world thinks. But God is trying to tell us to think the way He thinks. He says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Amen. Amen. And so I don't want to live by the pattern of the world. I want to live by the pattern of God's thinking. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, it'll be the most revolutionary change in your life when you start thinking the way God thinks. When, I mean, your marriage, your job, you know, your business, your family, I mean, everything will be radically changed. Your health, your finances. Yeah, things, everything pertaining to the life will be radically changed when you think the way God thinks. Oh, come on. And God never thinks with fear. He never wonders if you're going to make it. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Go over to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 2. And see, we don't want to conform. We want to be transformed. Listen, I didn't come to Jesus and just hope that my life would stay the same. When we come to Jesus, it is a transformation. And listen, it's a constant transformation all through this life. And I'll tell you what, the world's going to try to weigh down your thoughts and get you thinking like the rest of them. If you're not careful, oh, we're not going to do that. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So if you're going to have a transformation, it's going to have to begin with a transformation of your thought life.
Yes, for sure.
A transformation in your thought life. If you wondered, you know, why do we go to church? Is it just to fulfill, you know, God's attendance policy? No, we're here for the renewing of our minds. You know, people say, man, that family church down there, they give you a real good brainwashing. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. We all need our brains washed with the water of the Word. But it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. See, that's what I like. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove means to experience it and to see it manifest in your life. You know, God doesn't just want us to talk about His divine healing. He doesn't want us just to talk about His divine prosperity. He doesn't want us to just talk about His goodness. He wants it to actually manifest,
yes,
that you can actually prove it out in your life.
Amen.
I look back over the last 12, 13 years of my life of serving the Lord, and I tell you what, His blessing proves out.
Amen.
Every year where I look at where I was and the things that, you know, I've come through, and He proves, amen, He proves that this works, that when you think differently, you're going to live differently.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, test, and see, and experience what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Listen, don't you want to live in the perfect will of God?
Yes.
In that perfect will. Think about what God's will is. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray? Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So just go ahead and ask yourself, if it's not in heaven, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Then it's not for you.
That's right. Good.
Praise the Lord.
Good.
God wants you to pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Obviously, His will is done completely unhindered in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And He wants His will unhindered on earth.
Good.
Where you are right now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, God's will is not for sickness because there's none in heaven. Yep. God's will is not for you to be depressed and defeated in life because there's nobody with anxiety and depression in heaven right now.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So when God's will shows up on this earth, it's going to make a radical difference.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I want to live God's way in His will. Amen. See, the world is the way it is because it thinks the way it does. You wonder why the economies of the world are in trouble? It's because of their bad thinking. Amen. That's right. You know why, you know, healthcare systems are in trouble? Because of bad thinking. You know why crime is on the rise? Because of bad thinking. You know where all these sins in this our society is moving away from God? Why? Because of bad thinking. Public schools are falling apart. Why? Because of bad thinking. Come on now. You know, parents aren't doing their job raising their kids. Why? Because of bad thinking. You know, I'll tell you what, it's the reason why things are the way they are. And the problem with the church, especially in America, is that the church is starting to think the way the world thinks. See, that is the devil's plan, to get you to think like the rest of the world, to get you to think like an unbeliever. And the Bible tells us back there, where is it? Proverbs 23, 27. Or did I might have switched those two verses. Anyway, it goes on, it tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are living the sum of the thoughts in your head.
That's right.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk about what you do with thoughts and how you guard yourself for thoughts. Because listen, I've determined I'm going to win in my thought life. Listen, you can't prevent bad thoughts from coming to your head. But I tell you what, you can prevent the result of them.
Amen.
Come on now.
Good,
this will help your life.
Yes.
Listen, this is the answer to your transformation right here.
Good.
You need a transformation in your finances. You need a transformation in your, in, you know, your peace of mind. You need a transformation in your marriage.
Yes.
This is it.
This is it.
Why do marriages fall apart? Because somewhere along the line, someone had bad thinking. Come on. Why do churches become seeker-sensitive? Because they bought into a wrong thought. Come on now. It all started with a thought.
That's right.
And the church is in the condition that it's in because the church in America especially has decided to start thinking the way the world thinks. Yeah, they try to attract people just the same way that the world tries to attract people. You know, they treat the church like a business and, you know, they give it a brand. You know what I'm saying? And they start to make it more entertainment-based. Why? What is that? Because that's what the world does. You know, they hold all these focus groups. They try to design all these new methods of how do we get people to come into our church? How do we become relevant to this young generation? How do we do all that stuff? Listen, it's the same Bible it's been for 2,000 years. The answers aren't any different. God's power is what he wants to use to attract. He wants to make your life a walking billboard. Glory to God. The transformation is what is going to bring people into your church. You know, you can have all the, you know, all the laser lights, you can have all the entertainment, all the props and all that stuff. That's not going to change anyone's life. There's not going to be any transformation in that. You can bring in the biggest bands. You can have the biggest albums. You can play it on the greatest radio station. At the end of the day, people are going to need to have to hear, right? They're going to have to hear and be convicted of what truly transforms their life.
Yes.
And that's right thinking.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The church is handling money like the world is handling money. The church is dressing like the world, talking like the world, you know, making music like the world, doing everything worldly and thinking that that's how you win people to the Lord. No. No, that is not how it works. We are to have a different form of thinking. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 2, notice this. It says, and be not conformed. The word conformed means the pattern or the same thing that keeps repeating itself. Isn't that what a pattern is? Is the same thing that keeps repeating itself. Notice worldly thinking will doom you to repeat the same things over and over. Listen, the world is going to repeatedly, nonstop, live in economic collapse. How long has it been? I mean, when's the last time or where is a nation on this earth that actually handles its money correctly? You know, it doesn't exist. It's not out there, right? And so, oh, praise the Lord, that's a pattern. They keep experiencing the same thing over and over. The world, you know, has to face the same diseases over and over, the same heartbreaks over and over. That is the pattern of this world. I'll tell you what, apart from Jesus Christ, this world is a mess.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't want to keep reliving the same heartaches. Listen, when you are saved and you're born into God's family, that is when you are born out of the pattern of the world. You know what I mean? Of having to go down that same old desperate, depressed life. I'm delivered from that pattern. Glory to God. You know, before I knew Jesus, it was a nonstop pattern. You know, of addictions, feeling happy for a moment, and then being right back down again. Feeling okay for a moment, right back down. You know, debt and poverty and lack and all those things just kept repeating that same old cycle. Listen, some of us are just keep living the same old cycle, going around the same old mountain. But if we'll renew our minds, we can break that pattern. Be not conformed or stuck in the same pattern of the world. See, the world can't be faithful to anything. You know, the pattern of the world is to jump around and to go all these different things and all these places. We're not to be like that. We're to be stable, settled, and planted. Be not conformed. Oh, just look at the world, see what they're doing. You'll get your answer for what not to do. Be not conformed or stuck in the same pattern to this world, but be ye transformed. I love this word, transformed. It is where we get our English word for metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. How many of you remember your fourth grade science project with metamorphosis? And remember how you would all get the caterpillars and you would feed them all the leaves? And then after a few weeks, those caterpillars would get big and fat and they'd crawl to the top of that little cage and then they would make a chrysalis. And you would all get real excited. I remember as a fourth grader, I had my little mason jar, and I got to take home my own little chrysalis. Yeah. And I was excited, and my mom told me, oh, you know, something's happening here. And that chrysalis finally breaks open, and a butterfly comes out. Yeah. And that is the one of nature's greatest lessons of what metamorphosis is. Yeah. It means, literally, this word transformed, it means to become unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. Because when we do things God's way, your life will become unrecognizable to what. I'll tell you what, if the only difference between us and the world is that we're going to heaven and they're not, that is a sad testimony for what Jesus came to do. It is a transformation. There's nothing in my new life that's like my old life and vice versa. That pattern of depression was broken in my life. That pattern of addiction was broken in my life.
Yes.
That pattern of poverty and lack and always struggling to make ends meet, that pattern's got to be broken.
That's right.
Because that's how the world lives. Amen. We're sons and daughters of the living God. My life is unrecognizable. Listen, maybe you came in here today and you're living a life of depression or addiction or poverty or constant sickness and illness. Listen, there's something that can break that pattern. There's a transformation, a metamorphosis, where you can become unrecognizable to your old life. That's how powerful the renewing of your mind by God's word is. Praise the Lord. I tell people this all the time. You know, and this is not some ploy or a cheap, you know, idea to try to lure people into the church. But I saw it in my life. When I sat under the word, when I came to what was then Bible Christian Fellowship in Fredonia, the church that founded this church, when I came there, you know, in a lot of ways, a mess, you know? But it was the constant week in and week out, hearing the word, renewing my mind. I said this, that within a year, my life was unrecognizable to what it was. And I'll tell you what, no matter where you are, if you will come and sit under the word of God, hear these things, do these things, within 6 months to a year, you won't recognize your life anymore. You'll be transformed. Metamorphosis. You know, think about it. Before we know Jesus, we're like that caterpillar. All that caterpillar is bird food. Every little thing can come along. You're slow. You're ugly. You know? You are bird prey, or you're good for a fish hook. You know, that's about all you are. You know what I mean? But when that butterfly comes out, right? Amen. You're now a creature of beauty, a creature that can fly. Amen. I like that. So I want to be transformed. I want to go through this metamorphosis of renewing my mind. It says, but be transformed or made completely unrecognizable by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing here is where we get our English word for renovate. It's renovation time. Yeah. Many of you have probably renovated a room in your house, or maybe you've renovated a house or a property, or you at least are aware of it. There's entire TV shows now, many of them, that are dedicated to the process of renovating a property. And what do they do? And there's always that, the first half of the show is always the gut job, right? Tear out and demolition. And they got the sledgehammers and wham, they're throwing them through drywall and everything's coming down. And, you know, there's the bare studs, and, you know, in the wall, and, you know, everything's dirty and they got their ventilator mask on and dust is flying. I'll tell you, at first, when you begin this renovation process, there's a lot of dust that's going to fly. If you want to experience God's transformation in your life, you have to be willing to go through that initial stage, that initial process at first, where it's a demolition process, where there is a ton of changes, a lot of new changes. Yeah. And that's the process that might hurt in your emotions a little bit. Listen, when you start renovating your mind, all of a sudden certain relationships in your life aren't going to fit as much. You might have friends right now that are okay with your pattern of thinking now, but all of a sudden you start thinking like God thinks, you start living like God wants you to live, all of a sudden they're not going to be okay with it. And you're going to go through that emotional process of what are you going to do when you have to choose between God and a friendship? What is that? It's demolition time. That doesn't mean you're not going to be nice to that person. Doesn't mean you're going to stop loving them. But as far as having them into your close personal acquaintance, listen, when I got saved, there was a demolition process. Listen, I was hooked on alcohol. Guess what? It didn't fit into God's plan for my life. I had to start renewing my mind. And as I did, that process of drinking, the process of partying, in a lot of the associations that I had surrounded that, it was demolition time. Knock them down, tear them out. The dust went flying. I know. See, people want the transformation, but they don't want to guard their associations. Listen, look at your friends and how they think. That's your future.
Oh, there you go. Good word. Sure.
You better look at the closest people in your life and ask yourself, is that what I want? Because that is you in the near future. Your friend's present is your future, just so you know it. You cannot surround yourself with wrong thinkers and expect to be transformed by God. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yep. Transform, metamorphosis, to become something completely different and unrecognizable. Glory to God. Amen. By the renovating. You know, isn't that, you know, wouldn't it be silly to tear out everything in a house, you know, and you know, completely tear out the living room and kitchen, you know, and do all that demolition, and then go out and buy the same exact furnishings and fixtures and go put it all right back in again? Imagine, you know, tearing all that out and then, okay, we got the place all gutted. Now let's put the same cupboards right back in. Let's put in the same countertops. No, you tore all that out because there's going to be a brand new picture.
Yes.
Things are going to look different.
Right.
You know, imagine if we, I know what we should do. Maybe this would be a good fundraiser for the church. We'll start our own renovation show, right? Family church home improvement or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll go in there. We'll totally gut it all out, show the before pictures, and then we'll put all the same stuff right back in, and then we'll show the after pictures.
Yeah.
And yeah, people would be so impressed, wouldn't they? They'd really want to watch a show that just puts the old junk back in. But see, that's exactly what so many believers are doing. They invite Jesus into their life, and then they don't live the transformation process. They're unwilling to go through the demolition. Something's going to have to go. Those old countertops, they got to go. You can't save them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know there's some people out there, they repurpose old antique homes or architecture or old barns or whatever, and they're real careful in the demolition process to save some of those old things. Those are more the exception. But typically the rule is when you go in with the demolition and the gut job part, you know, you're not there with a scalpel. You know what I mean? You're there with a sledgehammer. When something has been deemed as it's got to go to the garbage, to the dumpster, it's with a sledgehammer, and they don't sit there and, oh, wait, save this drywall. Wait, this old drywall. Wait, let's save that and be real careful. No, they go in there, wham! Some of you need to go through that initial demolition stage where things just get cleaned out in a hurry. I've noticed with those shows, they don't take their time with demolition. They don't say, oh, let's be careful. And let's take this slow. And they don't take a little hammer and just chisel. No, they take the big hammer, the jackhammers, they take them all, and they destroy that stuff. Listen, in that initial stage of renewing your mind, there will be a lot of demolition where things will go, and they need to go quick. Listen, you don't play patty cake with evil. You don't look at evil once you know it's evil in your life and say, I will slowly step away from it. You don't look at alcoholism like I did and say, all right, I'm going to be a heavy drinker, and then I'm going to be a moderate drinker, and then I'll be a social drinker, and then hopefully one day. No, when that thing is destroying your life, you don't let any of it in.
Right.
It needs a sledgehammer. It's got to go.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You know, come on now. Praise the Lord, you know. Oh, some of you, you know exactly what that thing is in your life that could use the sledgehammer. All right, go with me. You're in Romans. Go to chapter 1. See, this is how the renewing process, the renovating process. There's going to be people in your life that will be no longer a part of your life.
True.
And the people that are willing to make the tough decisions are going to see God's highest and best.
Yes, they will. Good word.
God's going to tell you that person's no good for you.
Right.
You know it. You know it. I'm not saying you go out there and tell them how, you know, rotten they are or anything like that. It's not what we're talking about. You just distance yourself from them because they're trouble for your life. And God knows it, and you know it. The devil knows it, and that's why he wants to keep them there in your life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And I'm reading in the King James, so we're going to take this a little bit further here. Going to teach you how to think right. Because it's everything in your life. If you want something more, meaning if you want to live in God's higher place, well, then you got to think higher.
Yes, that's right.
In verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain. Everyone say retain. So notice they already had something to start with. You can't retain something you didn't have first.
That's right.
Right? It wasn't talking about gaining or obtaining. It's talking about retaining. And so he says in verse 28, and even as they, these people, did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So they would not hold on to God in their knowledge. Or you could say it this way, they didn't want to retain God in their thinking. Look at this. God gave them over, or you could say it this way, allowed them. God allowed them, or handed them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's a King James way of easily saying evil things. How do you know? Keep reading. Look at there in verse 29. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, that means rumors. Isn't that amazing that God puts murders and rumor spreaders in the same exact verse? Yep. Verse 30, backbiters, talking behind people's back. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Again, in the same context with murder. You know, look at all those things starting in verse 29. Wickedness. Fornication. How did someone wake up one day and decide to commit adultery? Do you think they just woke up and say, today's the day that I'm going to begin an adulterous affair in my life? No, where did that happen? It happened first that a thought got into their head.
That's right.
Yep, it all started with a thought. Notice this is the thing that is the result of a reprobate mind.
Right.
Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, handling money wrong. When did someone decide to bribe somebody or take a bribe or to gamble? Ooh, do you hear the holy hush? Why are Christians out gambling? You take your money and throw it in a slot machine, place it on a football game, do all this stuff. I'll tell you what, the Bible calls that covetousness because you're not doing that to lose. You are going to lose.
Yeah.
But no one puts a dollar in a slot machine hoping they don't win.
Yeah, right.
Why do you put it in the slot machine? Because you hope for easy, fast money. And the Bible says it is a great warning and deception to seek money fast.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Meaning a cheap, get-rich-quick scheme is never God's plan.
Right.
God wants you to prosper through character.
Yes.
Yep. Through giving.
Yes.
Amen. He wants you to prosper through patience.
Yes.
Through spirituality.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. Through your love and through kindness. Making good decisions. It's a process with God.
That's right. Yeah.
Covetousness, what do you think gambling is? It's preying upon the covetous.
Yeah, sure it is. That's a good one.
Some of you are thinking, well, I'll think about my head down there to the Seneca Casino this afternoon. You need to renew your mind. Say, well, Pastor Tim, what do you know about it? Because I used to go into those places. A lot. I used to sit at the blackjack tables. Yep. Used to throw the coin in and sit there all night, all through the middle of the night. I mean, starting at midnight till the sun came up, I'd be in those places, you know? You know, and every once in a while, they let you win just a little bit just to keep you hooked. And then at the end of the night, everything's gone. All the thousands of dollars that I lost in places like that. Why? Because I had a reprobate mind. I had a reprobate mind. Covetous. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Did someone just wake up one day and say, oh, man, today's the day where I'm going to begin a gambling addiction and I'm going to go squander our savings and lose our home? Did they just wake up one day and decide that? No, it all started where? With their thought life. They got a thought. They were tempted to do it. They were enticed into it. Maliciousness, covetousness, full of envy, murder. Where does murder begin? It begins in the mind. Debate, deceit, malignity, rumors, whispers, backbiters. Look at all these things. Why? It was all the result because of verse 28. Go back up there. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Notice they heard it once.
Sure.
But they didn't keep hearing it. How do you retain God in your thought life? By keep hearing. By keep hearing over and over and over again. You can't hear the message of faith one time. You can't hear the message of healing one time. You can't hear the message of God's provision one time. You got to keep hearing and hearing and hearing this over. You know, many of you have been here for many years, and you've probably heard me preach on the same topics over and over and over again. Because that's our opportunity to retain those things.
Amen.
Notice you can keep them or you can lose them.
Right.
Notice it was these people had it at one time,
right,
but then lost it. It's dangerous to know the truth and then to walk away from it. Can I show you a scripture in the Word? Can you, we'll just bring it up. Can you bring up 2 Peter chapter 2, start in verse 20, I believe. And I wasn't planning on this. 2 Peter 2:20, I believe this is the right scripture, or at least it's close. Yep. Okay, look at, oh yes. Oh, this is it. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world. So notice this is talking about believers who stepped into the things of God, you know, who then escaped the pollutions of the world, meaning they saw a measure of God's deliverance in their life.
Yes. Right.
Have you seen a measure of God's deliverance in your life? Well, this side, you all, wow, this side is delivered. I'll just have to preach the rest of the message over here. Had a lot of hands over here. Some of you won't raise your hand no matter what I say. Well, praise the Lord. How many of you are like that? You won't raise your hand no matter what. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. So after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
How do you escape pollution? The word pollution is actually the word for damnation.
Okay.
Or you could say it this way, destruction. How do you escape destruction in your life? Notice it's through knowledge.
Yes.
The more you know about the Word, the less destruction you're going to experience in this life.
That's good.
Why? Because these people had renewed their mind to a point.
Sure.
Okay? So they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Word of God, which Jesus Christ is called the Word, right? But through knowledge of Jesus. Now it says, but if they are again entangled therein. So notice they were Christians who had renewed their mind to a point. They escaped the pollutions of the world, right? And then they go back to the old way of living. They go back. See, this is scripture that they didn't tell you growing up. This is a scripture that they don't tell you. This is why, you know, many of the body of Christ today, they say, once saved, always saved. I made Jesus the Lord of my life. That's it. No matter what I do, I can go live like the devil and I'll always be saved. Wrong. Wrong. Well, not my opinion. I'm going to read it for you myself. If they are again entangled therein, if they're overcome.
Sure.
Notice these were once Christians.
Yeah.
Who escape the pollutions of the world, but then go back to the old life and get into the old life and they're overcome by it. It says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The latter end is worse. Verse 21. There it is. Sometimes the computer up there has glitches. It's not our folks. Praise the Lord. Verse 21. For it had been better for them. Everyone say better.
Better.
This is Bible. Okay. I'm just reading the Bible for you. This is not like family church edition. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. How would the Bible say that? How is it better not to have known? Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that has washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know what? Since we're on this really lovely topic and you're all enjoying this so much, can you bring up, bring up Hebrews 10:26? Because I don't like people just to hear my opinions. I want you to see it in the scripture. It's dangerous to know the truth and then walk away.
Right.
This is what Romans 1:28 is talking about. They didn't retain God in their knowledge.
That's
right. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. So notice this is talking about people who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
That's right.
See, I was taught growing up that once you're saved, you're saved, no matter what. And I lived like I was always saved. Oh, my goodness. I was at the parties. I was drunk. I was living like the devil. And I told everyone, you know, when the discussion of religion, you know, came up or whatever, I would be the guy around the campfire or whatever, you know, with a beer in my hand telling everybody, oh, you know, Jesus is the way. You need to be born again. You know, and I was doing the same thing they were doing. There was no difference between me and them, except I was the one, you know, telling them about Jesus. But see, look what the scripture says. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, Jesus, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. God isn't going to put Jesus on that cross again for you. Now, key word here, willfully sin. Meaning, if you choose a lifestyle of sin to go back to that old life, of course we all miss it at times, and we're sincere and we repent and get right with God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about choosing a lifestyle once you're delivered from that and then going back to it. It says, for if you sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Oh my goodness. Is that in the New Testament? So those that were once saved who decide to go back and live in sin says that they have a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. That sounds pretty dangerous to be saved and then start living like the devil again. Which shall devour the adversaries. Notice people who were once born again are now called adversaries. Verse 28 says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now look at verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Talking about people who had accepted Jesus Christ, who now chose evil, went back to that old life. How did they go back to that old life? They would not retain God in their knowledge. It's dangerous to not have a constant renewing of your mind, week in, week out. That's why, you know, I'm very hard on people that just frivolously, Christians, who pass off church. It's dangerous. Because why? They're not receiving the renewing of their mind. And when that negative, when that bad thought comes to them, they won't have the knowledge it takes to refuse it.
Right.
If you don't know truth, how are you going to know a lie when it comes to you?
Exactly.
Wherewith he was sanctified. Now this person was a Christian. They trodden underfoot the Son of God. They counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. Notice it's talking about grace.
Yes.
Notice that the definition of grace in our modern day is you're saved and it doesn't matter what you do. But notice this scripture is talking about Christians who are saved who do whatever they want to do. And it says they did so despite the Spirit of grace.
Oh,
so grace is not permission to live in sin. Grace is the power to live above sin, to live outside of sin. And now it says there, so a Christian who comes to Jesus and turns away, it says they are worthy of much sorer punishment. Peter said it would have been better for you not to even known than to know it and walk away. It's dangerous to go to a church that preaches healing and then leave it to go to a church that doesn't. It's dangerous to leave a church that preaches God's provision to leave it to go to a place that won't. It's dangerous to leave a church that'll preach conviction and righteousness and holiness to leave it to go find one that is more comfortable and suitable. This is where the seeker-sensitive church is absolutely so damaging and destructive because it puts Christians in their seats, it makes them and keeps them comfortable, it relieves their conscience to not be changed, to just keep doing what they've always done. And now the scripture warns so strongly about that. How much more sore punishment to be a believer who chooses to live like the devil. I'm sorry, you know, and I say that as a euphemism, I'm not really sorry. But, you know, it makes people, you know, uncomfortable to preach these things, to hear these things. But I'll tell you what, we need to. Because our modern time and our so-called technology era does not erase these things.
Yeah, right.
You know, our political correct society does not change what God has already put in his eternal word. And I would be a poor pastor. I'll tell you what, any pastor that won't tell you these things, he's a liability on your life and not a blessing. There's nothing worse than sitting in front of a minister that you love and you trust who will not tell you something because they're scared that you won't come back to their seats. That's not a man of God. That's what Jesus called the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, right.
There's nothing that I won't tell you that's in this word. If God shares it to warn us all, then I want to know it. If God wants to talk about money in his Bible, I'm going to talk about money. If he wants to talk about righteousness, we're going to talk about it. If he wants to talk about speaking in tongues, we'll talk about it. If he wants to talk about the true definition of grace, we'll talk about it. Talk about miracles. We'll talk about every angle of it. But we're not going to erase something that's uncomfortable just to keep somebody in your seats. I'm not here to make man happy. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now you're back over here in Romans 1:28. See, this is what I'm talking about. The scripture says it's worse to know and then not to act. See, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain or keep hearing, week in, week out. Because they would not retain God in their knowledge, God handed them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate, are you ready for this? It means worthless or castaway.
Yeah.
Do you know the term castaway? All right? Someone who's a castaway is isolated and unproductive, meaning by reason of their circumstances, they're alone. All right? They're without help. They're without provision. And this is what happens. God does not want to cast anyone away. If a person becomes a castaway or unusable for the kingdom of God, it was not God's choice. It was their choice. They lost the internal conversation. They did not handle their thoughts right. Folks, and let me just tell you this, I know that there's many of you that are living right now and it feels like there is a band or a vice on your head. The pressure that the devil is bombarding you with, the thoughts that are coming to you on a daily basis. I know there's many of you going through that extremely right now. I know it because, you know, I sense that. Yeah. You know, and I can see it on you know, many of your faces. I know that you're going through that and the devil's giving you thoughts and trying to blame you for having them. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what the devil does. He tries to give you a thought and blame you for having it. You're not this enough, and this isn't going to happen, and this isn't happening fast enough, and you're not, you know, all that stuff. Yep. All that is a bombardment against your mind to get you to lose heart, to get you to, walk away. Because walking away is very dangerous. And the devil knows that. And he wants to make you a castaway. That's why the answer to those is just keep going. Keep hearing and hearing and hearing the word. You're going to get through it. The word's going to carry you to the other side. You're going to break through all that. Listen, the pressure that is coming on you sometimes, you know, you're wondering, you know, everything even in your natural life can look good and everything's going well, but you're still facing an extreme amount of pressure, and sometimes you're wondering why. Well, I'll tell you what, when you're connected to a church and that's preaching the word and, you know, all these assignments that God has given to us, we have a new church starting here in a few months in Erie, you know, that's going to be a dynamic location. There's souls that are coming to the kingdom because of your faithfulness. Yeah. That is where a lot of that pressure is coming from. He's going to try to make many castaways to make us ineffective. But notice how you make sure that doesn't happen. You keep hearing. Amen. You keep hearing. Listen. When I say this, I want you to understand something. It's just a temptation. I'm not going to do this. I haven't done this. But all of you have been there. I mean, there's temptations that come to me and against me just to quit pastoring. Oh yeah. You know, and you say, oh my goodness, Pastor, you love being here. I do love being here. Every moment of every day, but there is a real adversary who on a daily basis starts to show me pictures, to show me what things would be like, you know, trying to entice me if I would stop pastoring. But see, what has happened is that I know too much. See, the more I know about the word, the less likely I am to give into one of those thoughts. Come on now. Praise the Lord. No doubt some of you are going through thoughts to leave your spouse. Thoughts where you're tempted to have an affair, or you're tempted to do something wrong with money, or, I mean, all these crazy thoughts that come through your head. Don't tell me you don't have them. You know, I know I pastor the most righteous, holy group of individuals on the face of this earth, but listen, I'll tell you what, the brain is not the place to live. Oh my goodness. Is there anybody that can say amen to that? Amen. Have you ever had crazy thoughts? Yep. You're going to have them today. You're going to have them tomorrow. You might be having one right now. But the answer is to keep hearing. Keep hearing. Now, well, I had other places to go, but let's get ready to finish this up, okay? I want to talk about things to guard against. Real quick, I'm going to give you three things that you can do to guard against being a castaway or walking in a reprobate mind, giving into the wrong thoughts. Listen, you better win that. You better win in your thought life.
That's right.
Oh, praise the Lord. And here's the thing that you need to know, and this isn't part of my list, but just know this. When the pressure is the greatest, it's because you are the closest to a breakthrough. When the pressure is the greatest, you are the closest to a breakthrough. A lot of times people give up right before their change comes. I see it a lot. so the pressure is great on you, all right? But it's because a breakthrough is, you know, in your near future. All right, things to guard against. Are you ready? Number one, wandering thoughts. Wandering thoughts. All right? Now, I could take you over, you know, you could real quickly, because I just don't want you to take my word for it. Go over to 2 Corinthians real fast. Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 4. And this is talking about our mind. It says this in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Notice it's talking about warfare. Now here is a good definition to what spiritual warfare is. There is a lot of goofy, weird definitions out there, especially in Pentecostal circles. You know, and I say that because we're talking about our own here. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." There's a lot of interesting definitions of what people think strongholds are. You're going to see what the Bible tells you they are. Verse 5 is talking about pulling down strongholds, remember. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations take place? In your mind? "And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." That's what every wrong thought is. It's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So the Bible tells us how to pull down strongholds. One, casting down imaginations and taking every thought captive. All right? So here's the number one thing you have to guard against. So you ready? Wandering thoughts. Notice a thought, if we allow it to wander, or maybe the right word is linger, or to loiter in your mind. Come on now. You know, sometimes those thoughts will try to stay in there, and if they're given enough time, those thoughts will become an imagination. Do you know what an imagination is? An imagination is an animated thought. When a thought has been allowed to stay in your mind long enough, it will become a picture. Yep. It'll become a picture. And when the picture is fully developed, it becomes a vision. Now, or I should say this way, it becomes vision. I'm not talking about a vision of seeing Jesus. I'm not talking about a vision of seeing, an angel or something like that. It becomes vision. Meaning it becomes something to have in your future. See, we should have godly vision. Right? Godly foresight. You know, amen. There's a good side to vision, but the wrong thoughts will also, if they're allowed to stay there long enough, they will start to paint a picture. And that's what the Bible calls, the word for imagination in the Greek here is the word for scenario. A scenario. You start to see those pictures of how you're going to walk that thing out. Yeah. Come on now. Wandering thoughts. You must not allow that picture to develop. It's easier to deal with it while it's a thought. The more it becomes a picture, the harder it is to get rid of. Okay? And of course, we've all at times allowed the wrong pictures to stay in our mind and to develop in our mind and in our thoughts. You know, we could use a lot of things. My goodness. You know, think about all this terrorism and thing that's going on in this world. And of course, you know, all that happened in Paris, and our hearts are with them, and we think about that. And they were perpetrated by these young, you know, Islamic militants and things. But where was it along the line, even in their young life, did someone all of a sudden just wake up one morning and say, "Today is the day I'm going to murder 200 people"? Somewhere along the line, that was a thought. And that thought became an imagination. And that scenario started to play out, and they saw what they were going to do and how they were going to do it. And they went on and they acted that out. And what a stronghold is when you act out an imagination. See, this is the process. Everything starts with a thought. if you allow it to stay there long enough, it becomes an imagination, and it becomes a stronghold when you actually walk it out, meaning that your pattern of thinking has now become your pattern of living. See? And that's why the first thing that you must understand is that the devil cannot penetrate your spirit. And so he has to go after your mind.
That's right.
Your spirit, you're born again.
Yes.
You know, you're living for God. He does not have access to your spirit. And so his battlefield is that of the mind.
Right.
And so the first thing he's going to do is shoot a thought or a fiery dart through your head and see if you'll start to allow it to stay and start to imagine, what would that be like? What would that feel like? How would I do that? And you see that picture. And then you keep going back to that picture and living it in your mind. And then it becomes a stronghold when you actually live it out.
That's right.
You know, where did it come from? Where does murder come from? It came because they acted out a scene that they've already saw in their head. Yeah. Where does adultery come from? They act out what they already saw in their head, right? Where does it come from? It comes from their thought life. Yep. And listen, all of us have to take heed against wandering thoughts.
That's
right. See? The goal, the devil's goal in your thought life is to get you comfortable with those thoughts. Meaning this, you get used to them. You get familiar. See, whatever you get used to in your mind is what you will do. Because a person becomes comfortable with it in their thought life before they actually walk it out. Wandering thoughts. And so over here in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says casting down imaginations. Okay? And so your question is, how do you do that? You do that with your words. Come on.
Come on.
You have to do this. You've heard, if you've been here a while, you've heard sermons like this probably several times. But you can't hear it enough.
Yeah.
Listen, when that thought comes into your head, right then and there, you better interrupt it.
Good.
When that picture starts to develop in your mind, you better interrupt it. And you cannot interrupt it with another thought. You have to interrupt it with your words.
Good.
You have to say right there. Jesus said over there in Matthew 6:31, he said, take no thought saying.
That's right.
Take no thought saying. How many times it comes out of my mouth? I don't take that thought. That's not my thought. I cast down that imagination in Jesus' name. You have to speak that. You have to say it. You interrupt or you cast down imaginations with your words. Now, no, when you're at the grocery store checkout counter and you're standing there and there's a bunch of people around, all of a sudden you don't say, I cast that down in Jesus' name. No, you know, when it doesn't have to be yelled, it doesn't have to be shouted. You just say, even if it just comes out under your breath, I can't, that's not my thought. That's not my thought. I understand what that is. That's an attack on my mind, trying to oppress me to get me into the same pattern of thinking as the world. Yep, come on now.
That's right. Very good.
All right, things to guard against. Two, are you ready? We're finishing this up.
Yep.
Your eyes and your ears are the gateway to your thought life. Let me say that again. Your eyes and your ears are your gateway to your thought life. Whatever you see and whatever you hear can become your thoughts. And thoughts can become your imaginations. Your imaginations can become your strongholds. What is an addiction? It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold in the mind. Yeah, absolutely. Your eyes and your ears are the gateway to your thought life. So now you have to guard about what you purposely put yourself around. Now listen, you are not going to be held accountable for that person at work that talks dirty and talks like a sailor. All right, you need to love that person, to be patient with them. You don't need to be tell them, my goodness, you're awful, and don't you know I'm a Christian, and you know, don't talk that way around me. Well, there's some circumstances in life that you are going to be around that stuff, and you can't help it. I'm talking about the things you purposely choose to set in your life. Things like entertainment. See, a song is not just a song to me. A song is either a blessing or a curse to my thought life.
There you go.
Have you ever heard a song that maybe you knew from, you know, your younger life or whatever, and it was very catchy, and the tune just stays with you, and you start to sing those words, and all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, do I want to be saying that? See, what that was is that a song is just a packaged thought. And, you know, it's just a packaged thought to get you to take it in because it looks like a gift. And that's why the devil uses music, you know, so strongly on everybody, especially our young people. And here they are singing along to, you know these things, or they're rapping out songs that are about drugs and premarital sex and all this stuff. I mean, glorifying murder and gang violence and all this stuff. You know, I mean, I never listened to it. I was always delivered from country music. But I've gone into restaurants and stores or whatever, and you hear this new brand of country music that is out today. Every song is about some cheating dude or gal. Every song is about someone sleeping around. And what that is, it's a packaged thought. It's dressed up to make it more palatable for people. Next thing you know, they start singing that, and then they're wondering why their marriage falls apart. Oh, praise the Lord. Your eyes and your ears are the gateway to your thought life. That's why, you know, what's the danger of watching certain rated R movies and things that are filled with sex and terrible language and all that stuff? Is because that's what's feeding your thought life. And your thought life is going to be your life. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Here we go. Guard against number three. Things to guard against. Here is a law of fellowship that you have to know and understand. All right? And like I said this already, you will think like the ones you surround yourself with. You better surround yourself with people that guard their tongue correctly. You know, if you are a soldier in the army and all the soldiers are entrusted with grenades, all right? You wouldn't want to hang around the guy that juggles with his live grenades. You don't go and hang out with the soldier who likes to pull the pin and play hot potato. You know what I mean? Because if you know, what is he doing? He's carelessly handling that power, and everyone says, "Whoa, buddy, I love you, I care about you." But someone that's juggling grenades all the time is likely to have an accident. There's going to be an explosion. Someone's going to get hurt. Right? Or, you know, for you hunters, you know, we've all been there before. Ever gone hunting? I really can't say I have. I've been around a lot of responsible people, but I've heard lots of stories. You ever been around the guy, you know, that you're walking through the woods with or something, and you look over next to him and his gun barrel is pointed, you know, right at you? It's kind of like when I hunt with Reverend Randy. I mean, every time I put on my bulletproof vest, and I'm joking, never have had that problem. And maybe we've done that before. But the guy that is doing that all the time, who's careless with that power, you don't want to be around him because someone's going to get hurt. In the same way, why are we inviting people to be our closest confidants in life and then they're careless with their mouth? Listen, there should be a prerequisite for people that are allowed to be close to you in your life. They got to talk right. They don't talk right, they're not invited into my personal life. I'm sorry. See, these are things you need to guard against because their words will become your thoughts. And the way the devil seduces a Christian is to use somebody who's already seduced. You know, the way he gets a believer to not retain the knowledge of God is to get them around somebody else who is not retaining the knowledge of God. That's why do you think, is God against unbelievers? No, he loves unbelievers. He gave his son for unbelievers, okay? But not at the expense of his family, meaning, we should look at unbelievers as people that we win to the Lord, not people that we listen to their advice. That's why the Bible tells us over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because God is guarding us, guarding our faith gate, guarding the gateway to our thoughts by making sure we're around people that are not careless with their mouth. You getting something out of this? Oh, praise the Lord. Do you want to conform or do you want to be transformed? If you want to be transformed, then you do these things. And if you want to be transformed, you need to start thinking the way God thinks. And now we didn't even begin to get to the time to start looking at what God thinks about certain things. If you saw what God thinks about finances, you'd be amazed. You'd never again wonder about where your next car payment is going to come from. If you start thinking the way God thinks about marriage, yeah, your marriage will be transformed. You start thinking the way God thinks about health and healing, my goodness, you will never again be afraid of a symptom that tries to attack your body. See, when we think high like he thinks high, praise the Lord. Did you get some help out of this? You got to retain, you got to renew, you got to keep renewing that mind. Casting down thoughts, casting down imaginations, using your words, stopping those thoughts before they develop a picture in your mind. If there's already pictures there, you've let it go too far. All right? And we're all guilty of that at times, but if you have allowed it to become a picture where you can vividly see it, then it's gone too far, and you better cast that thing down. You say, well, Pastor, I do that, and it comes right back. Cast it down again. Well, then it comes back again. Cast it down again. Listen, have more resolve than the devil. Be stronger willed than he is. Because what's in you can run further, it can run harder, it can go higher. You're not going to run out. You're not going to run out, but the devil's going to run out. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Father, we thank you. We don't want to be like those that don't retain